Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, hello, hello. Time to elaborate. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to The Backyard. This is Margaret Marshall, your host, and I'd like to welcome you this evening. And first of all, apologize for our little technical boo-hoo last week, but we're here and we're ready to elaborate. And as usual, I hope you had a fantastic week. And I would also like to tell you that when we get together in the backyard, we take a virtual trip to Jamaica because we are here to celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica, land we love. So in order to get us in the mood, you know, we're doing so many things virtually nowadays. We bank virtually. We shop virtually. We don't even have to leave our homes to be transported somewhere else. So I'm going to ask you to remember your favorite spot on the island when it was evening and the trade winds were blowing gently across the whole island. That was the most relaxing time for me, those who could enjoy it, whether you're on the terrace, on the beach, in a hammock, in the backyard, or on the front veranda. So the whole idea here, ladies and gentlemen, is to just relax, because on the island we have no problem on. So tonight we are going to continue to celebrate, along with Dr. Joy Lumsden, the life and legacy of Mr. Jim Russell. And in doing that, I am just wanting to let you know that just by exploring this man's life, who I happen to have been on the island while he was still alive, because I noticed that he signed my marriage certificate in 1957. So somehow I feel connected to him, and I didn't know much about him. But not only do I know a lot about him now, and I've shared some of that with you on our last broadcast, but I've found out a lot more because one of my fans online have put me in touch with one of Mr. Russell's sons. And it's just so inspiring for me. And he hopefully one of these days he will join us in the backyard. He's recuperating now from surgery, not life-threatening. But I am just so excited to have been put in touch with him that I wanted to, with his descendants, that I wanted to share that with you. Now, I want to start off by sort of giving you a little format of how the show will flow tonight. In researching Mr. Jim Russell, I also got some information from Dr. Lumsden's page about the West Indian Regiment. And there's so much that I did not know about when I was in Jamaica, even though I was exposed to, like, the military band and people who grew up in my time in Kingston and had the privilege or visited the Hope Gardens or sometimes something's downtown, I remember how intrigued I was with the military band that performed then. I remember in Hope Gardens we had a gazebo, and they would be seated in the gazebo in their beautiful regalia. And incidentally, the band, the Jamaican band, is still wearing that uniform, which is really so colorful and dramatic, I would say. And I remember being intrigued by the classical music on a Sunday afternoon or a Saturday afternoon as we visited Hope Gardens. I also remembered hearing them. There was a market way down King Street, and there was a gazebo someplace down there near the water. And I remember on holidays, it could have been Christmas or something, I remember them playing there also. So I have fond memories about the band, but didn't really know its history. And why I'm talking about that now is because Mr. Russell himself was very involved and connected with the band, and I will read about the documentation that Dr. Lumsden found relating to that. So let me just give you a little bit about what Dr. Lumsden is trying to do, because I'm going to read from her. I think I read this before, but it really is, it makes so much sense, because as she says here, there's so many Jamaicans who have contributed so much to the culture and the past, there's not a lot of documentation anywhere collectively about their contribution. And what she is doing with the history that she is writing about is to try to bring those people to the attention of the now generation. Well, we know, or we believe, that the now generation don't seem to be that interested in the past. But I'm still having hope that they really are, and they will come into this wanting to know as they grow older. Because I must confess, as I've done a lot of times online, that I don't think I was that interested in history. I didn't even know how much history I was missing while I was in school. I never thought, you know, about how the band, as I enjoyed it, got started. It never even crossed my mind. But it's really I'm really interested now, and I find the information very intriguing. So I hope you will too. Now, I'd like to make an announcement that if you're listening online, I'm not able to interact with you. So what you could do is dial 718-766-4558, and I will see that you are on my board. And if you wish to make a comment, interact, join the Labrish, you hit 1 on your telephone, and I will see a little hand, and I will open the mic so we can communicate. So that invitation is open to everybody. And I always say, although I'm trying to bring some history that's not well known to the public, it's not like CNN or, you know, I'm not an accomplished reporter. I am just casually reading the information or discussing information that is relevant to, hopefully, to my generation. So I know that I have quite a few people listening to the shows, because the show we did on Mr. Jim Russell 2 weeks ago has been listened to over 150 times, you know, for people Googling information on Jamaica or the history or the theater or whatever. So with that said, I want to share with you the feeling of what Dr. Lumsden, who's the historian that is alive and well, lives in Jamaica, and she wrote this comment on one of the pages that she's doing for Mr. Jim Russell. And if you'll just bear with me. I will try to get to it on my little computer here. So in the meantime, if there's anyone on the board that would like to interact with me, feel free to hit one on your telephone, because that will tell me that you want to join the Labrish. And there's nothing I like better than having someone with me in the backyard. I know you're there, but, you know, you can let the rest of the world know you're there. Now, one thing I like about this new technology is that all the shows that we have done over the years, it will be 3 years come in August, are all archived. So if at any time you want to listen to an old show, just look in the archives. If you go to Blog Talk Radio and Google Backyard Labrish, they're all there. But first of all, I wanted to share with you what the Gleaner said in September when they wrote about his life. It says, May Jamaica continue to produce and appreciate its Jim Russells. Because this man was not only the registrar of births and deaths, but he was much more. Much, much more. And that is what Dr. Lumsden has done for him, is that she has dug up a lot of information that is scattered all over the internet, not the internet, but archives that she has found relating mostly the Gleaner, things that came out in the Gleaner in 1926. But before I do that, I can't find what she said, but I'll certainly read it for you before. I think I went over it when I started the talk on Mr. Jim Russell. And what she's saying in a nutshell is that, you know, there's so many important men and women of the past who contributed in many different ways. But somehow, their things about them are not celebrated. And I'm talking about Jamaicans who were born and raised there 4 and 5 generations before them. You know, they're not even during the period of the 1800s. 1894, Mr. Jim Russell was born in 1894. There were several men before him who really did a lot in Jamaica and for Jamaica, and somehow they're not recognized or there's not information about them. So tonight I want to fill that in. Also, I want to tell you a little bit about the West Indian Regiment, because I was surprised to hear this. And this comes from, there's another article by another historian. It's called Pieces of the Past, and it's published by the Jamaica Gleaner. And it has several stories that is documented by Dr. Tortello, Rebecca Tortello. So this is part of her documentation. And I'm going to talk to you about the music, the band itself. Now, this is recently, I don't know where I found this, but it says some Jamaicans will know that the Jamaica Military Band, known throughout the Jamaica Defense Force as the JMB, is the oldest continuous service unit in the Jamaica Defense Force. The 1st Battalion Jamaica Regiment has longer descendants, being directly connected with the ancient Jamaica Milita of 1662, but with several changes through the years of the 20th century. Uniquely under its original name, the Jamaica Military Band celebrates its 80th birthday on the 28th of February. This was many, many years ago. Now, can you imagine that the band itself had been in existence 131 years before the Jamaica Defense Force. It's just absolutely amazing. And I want to know, and in, again, if anybody on the board, is, some of this information is so new to me that perhaps it's not that new to some people. So if you have a comment, you know, feel free to raise your hands by hitting one on your telephone. Another thing I found out while I was researching this, because Mr. Jim Russell was connected to a political party, and it was not the PNP or the JLP. I didn't even know there were so many political parties that were started in Jamaica. There are over 20 that are registered. Some of them are closed or, you know, extinct, but I didn't even know that there were so many registered. I think there were about 23 or 25. So that's something else that I found very intriguing too. And Mr. Russell himself, Jim, was involved in a lot of things. Sports, I talked extensively about his association with the theater, even before the pantomime. And that is the show, I tell you, that has been listened to many, many times. But I suppose people are just finding this information fascinating, as I am. But he was involved with much more than that. But let's go to the West Indian Regiment, and you might be interested in a little of that history. It says here the West Indian Regiments were initially raised in 1795. The original intention was to recruit both free blacks from the West Indies population together with purchased slaves from the West Indian plantation. Now, that tells me that there, in 1795, there were free blacks living in the West Indies, and they were not slaves. So the intention of this regiment, or the intention of the idea for the regiments in 1795, was to get both blacks that were free in the West Indies and some that were working on the plantation as slaves. Now, in 1807, all serving black soldiers recruited as slaves in the West Indian regiments of the British Army were freed under the Mutiny Act passed by the British Parliament that same year. We're talking about 1807, folks. In just a minute here. In 1808, the Abolition Act caused all trade in slaves to be utterly abolished, prohibited, and declared to be unlawful. In 1812, a West African recruiting depot was established in Sierra Leone to train West African volunteers for the West Indies Regiment. By 1816, the end of some war and the reduction of the West Indian Regiment to 6 enabled this depot to be closed. Thereafter, all recruitment for the various West Indian regiments that fought in World War I and World War II were West Indian volunteers, with officers and some senior NCO, which is non-commissioned officers, coming from Britain. So, you know, from 18-something, there were people volunteering, free blacks, and I suppose freed slaves. I mean, blacks that were free before slavery. Now, the West Indian Regiment soldiers became a valued part of the British forces. They were gathered from the West Indies, where losses for disease and climate were heavy amongst white troops. Oh, they were recruiting the blacks because the whites couldn't stand the disease and the climate. Okay, the black Caribbean soldiers, by contrast, proved better adapted to tropical service. They served against locally recruited French units that had been formed for the same reasons. Free black Caribbean soldiers played a prominent and often distinguished role in the military history of Latin America and the Caribbean. Then here it says the 19th century. The new West India regiment saw considerable service during the period of the Napoleonic Wars, including participation in the British attack on New Orleans in 1800. There were 12 battalion-sized regiments with this title. The numbers were reduced after 1815, but during most of the remainder of the 19th century, there were never less than 2 West Indian regiments. In 1888, these were merged into a single regiment comprising 2 battalions. A 3rd battalion was raised in 1897, but was dismantled in 1904. Well, I was shocked to know that there were so many West Indians serving all over the world. It has it here that they saw service literally all over the world. Now, how does this relate to the gentleman we're celebrating tonight, or we continue to celebrate tonight? Well, I think I mentioned that he was born in and raised and worked in Spanish Town. But Dr. Lumsden states that here are some of the earlier mentions of his name in participation or in doing something. Here's a welcome home to a war hero, and the person they were welcoming home was Sergeant Appleton, Appleton, A-B-L-E-T-O-N. And I'm calling all these names because just like I was able to locate a descendant of Mr. Russell, I am hoping that as people come and listen to these shows, you never know, they might hear the name of one of their families that they might not have known things about. So I find this very interesting. So bear with me, it might sound a little boring to you, but believe you me, from the hits that we're getting, it's obvious that people are relating to some of this history, because I suppose in some cases it's easier to listen than to read. And I must say that some of this, because it's information that Dr. Lumsden finds and then just prints because she wants it to be authentic, or she copies and pastes. So you're looking at the actual document where this all that I'm going to read is written. And sometimes it's not that easy to read. So bear with me here. We're talking about the sergeant who his friends gathered in Spanish Town to honor him. And it says feature of events and from the correspondent. This is an article from the Gleaner. But there, it doesn't say who the correspondent was. But Spanish Town Friday, and I mean, people in, this is me, people in those days sort of wrote different, so I'm reading it just like they write it. Last night, a dinner by his friends was given here in honor of Sergeant Horace Arthur Appleton, A-B-L-E-T-O-N, of the ex-British West Indian Regiment, who after nearly 5 years of service in the war zone has returned to his native land and hometown. Sergeant Appleton, previous to his departure, held a very high place in the estimation of the citizens of this town and still maintains that place, which his absence has in no way altered. This was evident by the wholehearted manner in which the gentlemen who had gathered expressed the joy
it gave them in having once again amongst them their esteemed friend and townsman. The following are the names of the gentlemen who sat down to dinner. Messrs. A.A. Fleming, F.S. M.E.S.S.I.A.S., Sergeant A. Appleton, that's the man, D.S. Lopez, G.H. Ellis, V. Stewart, Roy Briscoe, G.A. Da Silva, J. Troop Atkinson, Gilbert Da Silva, L. Lyons, N. Bellamy, R. Magnus, Robert Black, E.A. Martin, Arthur Fleming, G.G. Fleming, E.A. Levy, N. J.N. Russell, that would be Jim, Q. C.Q.M. Sergeant L.E.C.C.S.N.E., oh, I can't pronounce that, X. British West Indian Regiment. Oh, that's the man, that one man that was in the WIR, I suppose. B.G. MacDonald, V. Johns, and Sylvester Gordon. Oral and written address. Messrs. A.A. Fleming and F.S. M.E.S.S.I.A.S. expressed the very great pleasure they felt in having the sergeant back with them. This was followed by similar brief expressions from several of the other guests, after which the following address was presented to Sergeant Appleton. My sidebar here. This is the first article she found in relating to Mr. Russell being involved with the West Indian Regiment. So that's why, although his name is just mentioned in the gentlemen who were in attendance, but it was relevant. So I can just see the depth of her research when she's trying to put something together to honor someone. So I am very happy to be able, I'm going to be hopefully be able to connect her to Mr. Jim's Russell's son, who I was put together with by one of my fans. Now let me get back to the article that she copied. This was in Spanish Town, January 30th, 1920. Dear Sergeant Appleton, we the undersigned beg to welcome you on your return from the front where you have gone to fight for our king and country. We are extremely pleased and grateful to Almighty God for bringing you back safely to us. Whilst you were abroad, those of us who had not the pleasure of hearing from you always made it to our duty to hear of you and your doings. Your career as a soldier has never escaped our attention, and we were deeply concerned when we heard that you had been wounded whilst in Palestine. As a mark of our appreciation of the sacrifices you made in obeying the Emperor's call, we are assembled here tonight to assure you of the high esteem and affection we still hold for you as a soldier and fellow townsman. And we hope and trust that health, length of years, and prosperity may be yours. We are, etc. And all of the gentlemen signed it. Now, the honored gentleman replied, suitably, this is the author, whoever wrote this article, that is his comment. Sergeant Appleton replied, suitably. The toast proposed. After the toast of the king had been proposed and responded to, that of Sergeant Appleton, the guests of the evening were also duly proposed and heavily drunk. Well, that's me laughing. Mr. Appleton replying. Mr. F.S. Messus then proposed the toast of the Navy, Army, and Auxiliary Forces, which was replied to by Mr. V. N. Johns. Sergeant Apperton proposed the toast of the ladies, and Mr. O. Lyons responded. The toast of the press was proposed by Mr. Gilbert De Silva, and Mr. G. G. Fleming replied. Throughout the evening, the guests were entertained with music supplied by the local Philharmonic Brass and Reed Band, which rendered an excellent and appreciable program. On the whole, a very enjoyable time was spent by all present. The function concluded at a late hour in the evening with the singing of the national anthem. Boy, I just love the way those old writers wrote. It was something else. Now, I wondered if anybody on the board remember the Philharmonic Orchestra, because I do. I cannot remember the name of the conductor, but I think he lived in Kingston, and I remember hearing or going to concerts that the Philharmonic played. I don't know if that the Philharmonics exist still in Jamaica, but does anybody on the board remember anything about that? This article was written in, when did I say the date was? But I know, you know, my time would be in the 40s and 50s. And I remember something about the Philharmonic. So help me out here if you remember anything. So that is what she found, that it didn't say where this was held, but I have another article that talked about, you know, Mr. Russell having a performance and some special event for the dismantling of the West Indies Regiment Band. So I wanted to give you a little thing, you know, about what happened in all those years. This, now here's an article that this gentleman that came back from the war, that was, his name is spelled A-B-L-E-T-O-N, Appleton, I suppose is pronounced. Tony, he was called Tony Appleton, was made an MBE in the Queen's Birthday Honors in 1963. Mr. Horace Arthur Appleton was born in Spanish Town on April 15, 1895. He saw active service in England, France, Egypt, and Palestine with the 2nd Battalion of the British West Indies Regiment in World War I. A retired civil servant, he served with the Lands Department for several years as District Lands Officer. He has been General Secretary and Liaison Officer of the Jamaica Region BESL, those are the abbreviations, since 1961. A comedian, Mr. Appleton was a member of the famous Jamaica comedy team of Abe and C-U-P-E-S, Cupus, Ernest Cupidon, who died in 1940. Oh, so he was Abe, and Ernest was Cupes, C-U-P-E-S. He has also taken the leading comedy part in all major local theatrics since 1923. So I am wondering if this article is stating that he was still alive then. So would somebody help me out? If he was born in 1895 and this article was 1963, how old was he? Wow. But anyway, we know that he served all over the world, and we're talking about a long, long time ago. Now, here's an article on the Ex-Servicemen's Organization. The first reference so far to Jim Russell's involvement with organizations concerned with ex-servicemen is a note that he gave toys to the children at the Raya Cobre home in Spanish Town at Christmas in 1924. As manager of the movie cinema,
He also entertained the children there. So here we have Mr. Jim Russell collecting toys for the ex-servicemen. Now, is anyone on the board from Spanish Town? Because I remember the Raya Cobre home. I lived in Spanish Town when I was, perhaps quite small. And when I saw this, I really got the goose pimples because my father was involved with a church in Spanish Town. The minister of the church was a Mr. Huckabee, who was, I don't remember as a child whether he was from England. He must have been from England. And he and his wife ran the Raya Cobre home. I remember going there. I remember seeing all the boys. There were only boys. It was just boys. And I remember it well. When I saw this, I said, quite likely I might have met Mr. Jim Russell. I was, sort of small at the time because I was born in 1935. Now, there's no year as to, did I say a year that he did that? But he was definitely involved. She doesn't say what year, 1924. So that was before my time. But I certainly, she mentioned here that there's not much information about the home itself. She know it had changed hands after some time, and she doesn't even know if it's still being run as a boys' home. But I know that perhaps in 1940, it was still there. So I find that so interesting because I'm hoping that some people who come by as they hear these names, because if I never saw perhaps mention some of the names before, people are able to connect or know someone, who's involved in some way. So let me now tell you about Mr. Jim Russell's involvement with a particular a political party. All right. Here's where you're going to find out that there were political parties before the PNP. This is taken from the Gleaner, November 29th, 1944. JDP candidate for Eastern Kingsdale, well-known social worker, affable, modest, sober, James Nelson Russell, Jamaica Democratic Party's candidate for Eastern Kingston, is known by a large circle of people as Jim, Registrar of Births and Deaths for Kingston, and successful theatrical man, with several other activities going on to keep him fully occupied while he is awake. I'm reading from the article, believe it or not. His is a very interesting study. Jim was born at Spanish Town, St. Catherine, on August 11th, 1894, and was educated at the Beckford and Smith School there. He was among the first batch of boys in Jamaica to join the Scout movement, and fired with loyalty and a spirit of adventure, he enlisted in and left the island in the first contingent in 1915 to do his bit for king and country in the First World War. Jim saw service in England, Egypt, Palestine, British, and German East Africa, and Italy. He served the Public Works Department for several years, and for the past 19 years has been Registrar of Births and Deaths and Civil Registrar of Marriages for Kingston. Let's pause a while for a review of Jim's life up to this stage. Schoolboy with an enviable record, Boy Scout who has always lived by the Scout's pledge, cricketer and athlete, churchman, patriot and soldier, public works employee,
recorder of births and deaths, and the channel by which men and women were joined together in the holy bonds of matrimony, of a true Jim fills the bill of his fellow men from the cradle to the grave. And through all these changing scenes of life, he bears himself with an easygoing calm, self-assurance, which is infectious. The old soldier is always looked upon in the community with respect and adoration. Jim has enhanced the standing in our island of his comrade of the Great War by the foundation he laid in the old comrades reunion dinners of past years, which were usually graced, and rightly too, with the presence of the governor of that period. He has served as a member of the commission to formulate the old soldier's scheme and a member of the supplementary committee. Social worker. As a lay reader of the Anglican Church and actively engaged in social work, the light from Jim's little candle has penetrated the gloom of many a humble hut and cottage. His has been an interesting plan of action in lifting the poor and humble from the gutter. It is several years back since Jim has organized a series of games for the benefit of those who have shown their gratitude. There are the football competitions for elementary and private schools, secondary schools, cricket competitions among the elementary schools, his orchestral competitions, and the securing of championship cups for the successful bands, his many first-class shows at the Ward Theater, the Conversorium, and other places, in several of which he has faced the footlights and appreciative audiences. And last, but by no means least, his turn to writing poems, many of which have appeared in the Gleaner. Jim will be publishing a book soon entitled Life's Pathway. Among the friendly societies, Jim's name is a household word, and one finds it perhaps easier to refer to the movements with which he is not associated than those in which he devotes so much of his time. Such an interesting and unselfish life can certainly be placed to the best advantage of the new Jamaica, which comes into being with the result of the polls on December 14th. Remember James Nelson Russell on Election Day. Jim Russell ran in the elections of 1944. No, that was the end of the article. Then she says here, Jim Russell ran in the elections of 1944, the first based on universal suffrage. Let me get my papers here. From the Jamaica Democratic Party in Eastern Kingston and Port Royal. Unfortunately for him, he was facing the PNP candidate Floridezell Gaspol, who won the seat and held it for the rest of his political career until he was made Governor General in 1973. It is an interesting comment on the preservation of historical facts that the Gleaner in its obituary for Floridezell Gaspol in 2000 gives the result of this election thus. He won the sole corporate seat for the PNP, beating by 1,000 votes his three rivals. Dr. G.E. Valentine, who ran for the JLP, E.A. Campbell, independent, and Vivian Dorham, independent. This was in the Gleaner November 27, 2000. That's when they wrote the obituary for Glasspool. But listen to this. Dr. Lumsden found that the results were in fact, and she has them posted here, Kingston, Eastern Kingston, Glasspool, who won for the PNP, got 3,748 votes. Valentine, who ran for the Labour, got 4,797 votes. Russell, who was an independent, we're talking about Jim, JPD, Jamaica, whatever his party was named, got 1,425 votes. Campbell, who was an independent, only got 482, and the other independent person had only 88. But here's the point I want to make, folks, as she did. When they were talking about Florizel Glasspool in 2000, they mentioned here that he won the seat by 1,000 votes over his three rivals. But what she's saying here is that he that ran for the Jamaica, I think whatever the party was, I'm going to tell you what it is in a minute, he got 1,425 votes, and the two independent candidates did not get over 500. One got 88, and one got 482. Yet, Mr. Jim Russell's name was not mentioned when they were talking about this, which leads me to a point I always try to make. You see, a lot of times the history that you read is not the real history. And that's why it's so important for us to really make our own history, document it. You know, talk about your family as you know it. You know the facts. You know of your period. If somebody's going to write about your period for you, they might likely leave something out that is quite important to the documentation. So that is my point as she made it here, because when she found the actual results of the election for that year, even though Mr. Jim Russell's name was not mentioned, because he wasn't an independent, he ran for a political party, his name was not even mentioned in that election. So, you know, it's always important, I think, to have things correct. So let me tell you a little bit. Anybody on the board know how many political parties are registered in Jamaica? I was flabbergasted. And because of that, it led me to do a little more research. So let me just share with you what I found out. In 1929, the People's Political Party, also known as the PPP, was Jamaica's first modern political party, and it was formed in September 1929. But can anybody on the board guess who formed that party? If you do, put up your hand. I have a great prize for you. I'm not seeing any hands, so I don't have any takers, and I have some callers on the board, and I'm sure people listening online. But it was formed by Marcus Garvey. Marcus Garvey formed that party in 1929. In 1939, the People's National Party was formed, and it is described as the PNP is a social, democratic, and social liberal Jamaican political party, and it was founded by Mr. Norman Manley in 1938. So there is some, you know, information there that I never knew before, that there was a party before the PNP. Then came the Jamaica Labour Party that was formed in 1949, and it is one of the two major political parties in Jamaica, and the other being the People's National Party. We all know that. Despite its name, the JLP is a center-right conservative party, one with ties to the Jamaica labor movement. It didn't say who formed that, but I think that was formed by Mr. Bustamante. 1944, the Jamaica Democratic Party was a political party in Jamaica. I think that is the party which Mr. Russell was a member of, the Jamaica JDP, the Jamaica Democratic Party. It contested national elections in 1944 when it received 4% of the votes but failed to win a seat. But it did not contest any further elections. So what they said is that it didn't win a seat, but it did win a percentage of the overall votes. Now, after that, in 1949, there was a United Party of Jamaica. It was a political party in Jamaica. It contested an election in 1949. It only received 0.2% of the votes, but it still contested the election. In 1955, the Republic Party was formed, and it contested elections too. In 1955, again, the People's Freedom Movement, a political party, was formed. I'm talking about all these are in Jamaica. In 1955, several were formed in 55. The National Labor Party was founded by Ken Hill. It had a lot of votes. 1,958, the NPL disappeared in 1960. In 1955, they also had the Farmers' Party. In 1959, the Jamaica Independent Party. In 1959, the Independent Labor Party was formed. In 1959, again, the Convention Independent Party. Oh, my gosh. In 1967, the Jamaica United Party. In 1967, again, the Jamaica We Party. In 1972, the Christian Democratic Party. In 1980, the Jamaica United Front. And it goes on and on, believe it or not. I'm learning so much about my country. I didn't know before. In 1983, the Christian Conscience Party Movement. In 1997, the National Democratic Movement, NDM. In 1978, the Workers' Party of Jamaica. That was formed by Elon Thomas. In 2002, the United People's Party, and also in 2002, the Imperial Ethiopian World Federation Incorporated Political Party. And in 2007, the Jerusalem Bread Foundation Party. So we've got parties for folks. We got a whole lot of political parties. Some of them have dissolved, but apparently a lot of them are still functioning as parties. There's one here, it said it was formed by the members of the Church of Haile Selassie. So it gives you some documentation and all these formation of parties. So I'm open up for some conversation on the board now, because I didn't know that even there was a political party before the JLP and the PNP, because I think they were the only two that I knew about when I was growing up. But I want to know if anybody else on the board might be familiar with any of these that I've called. I don't know if any of my callers on the board nor online will remember that we did a story of the first person of color to be on a Canadian stamp was actually from Jamaica, a woman from Jamaica. And in her book, I'm reading her book now, which is very interesting, and it is Being Brown, a Very Public Affair. And she lived and passed away in Canada, but was born and raised in Jamaica. And she talked in the book about her grandmother and her aunts and great aunts sort of being very political. And I am just wondering, I so far haven't found any mention in the book that they were involved with or knew about any other party before the PNP and the JLP. But I know I personally only know about the JLP and the PNP. At the time that I left Jamaica in 1959 when Norman Manley was still alive and campaigning. But I never even know that there was voting going on before that. I don't remember. So I'm asking any of the callers on the board. I have 973-373-631-451-305-248. So if anybody on the board would like to help me out here with my memory, you can hit one on your telephone and let me know what you remember. Because, you know, a lot of times what we remember is important. And one thing I like about all of this is that it's sort of, you know, you start reading or listening to something and you say, wow, you know, all of a sudden it triggers something in your memory bank and you remember something, because that's how it worked for me with this Raya Cobre home. Once I saw it, I said, oh my gosh, I had been to that place several times as quite a young child. You know, I know I might have been 6 or 7, but not much older than that. But I remember being there quite a few times, and I know it was because and I remember the names of the people that were involved with it. Of course, there is no real documentation on that in terms of a newspaper article or anything. But I know that that place existed, but it doesn't say who ran it, why it was formed. But from what I gathered from the pieces she has put together, this gentleman, Mr. Jim Russell, was quite a Jamaican. And he really, in his own way, I think, left a legacy, and a lot of things that we even enjoyed in our time growing up in Jamaica, we really never know the depth of, you know, how it began. You know, I remember that my aunts and my mother was involved with different societies or organizations where it had to do with money, putting away money, and it wasn't a bank. And it's similar to the building society now that is still in existence. But I remember in my young day, there seemed to have been several of them, not just one. The one that survived is the one that still is in existence now. But I'm also wondering if anybody on the board remember their families being involved with any building societies other than the one that we know of now, which is, I think, the one that is still running, is the Victoria Mutual Building Society. But there were societies before that. And Dr. Lumsden is still looking for information about the various associations that Mr. Jim Russell was involved with. And hopefully, when his son is able to interact, he may be able to supply some of that information for her. And I am looking forward to having him or some information from him that I can continue to share. Now, if I may say so, you know, Dr. Lumsden on our pages, and anyone on the board or coming by later on can always go find the original articles that I'm trying to read and share online. If you Google Dr. Joy Lumsden, or Pieces of the Past would be Dr. Tortella's contribution to the history, but you will find it online. I think Dr. Lumsden's pages is Joyous Jam, but if you just Google her name, you will find all her pages, or most of them, and you will also find the broadcast, any broadcast that we have done where we have used her material. You will find that also. And I know that for some people it's easier to listen than to read, because you can actually listen to any of the shows while you're doing your email or, you know, just surfing on your computer. So, and a lot of people find that easier to do, perhaps, than to, they're not available on the night we're broadcasting, but they're certainly going by to check out and hear the things that we have discussed so far. So we're almost out of time. We're on for an hour tonight. So if anyone on the board would like to weigh in, I'm also always open to know what you would like us to discuss. Just bear in mind that we're here to celebrate. We're here each Thursday. We've changed our day from Wednesday to Thursday. We're here each Thursday at 8 o'clock, where we celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica, land we love. I'm saying that to say, if you notice, I do not discuss religion or politics or even a lot of current events, although I know that the past is important to the present, and I do welcome present news as long as it's celebrating, enlightening, so we can preserve. There is a lot of current information. If you want to know daily what's happening in Jamaica, you can just Google the Daily Gleaner or the Observer, and all the day's event is there, you know, so you can read. What I am trying to do is to give some information about what you might not be easily get to information, and so many wonderful things that Jamaica have contributed to all over the world, and people that are still descendants of these people, and people who are still doing wonderful things. For instance, I remember last year I did, during History Month, I did a segment on the classical musicians of Jamaica that are still involved in their art all over the world. They might not be in Jamaica, but they are in all over the world. And they're spread out. And I discussed or talked about one of Mr. Russell's sons who is in Geneva. And at the time, I didn't know about Mr. Russell being so, you know, prominent and important to the culture. So I never made the connection. He was just one of many of the classical musicians that Dr. Lumsden had written about when she did History Month in 2007, I think it was. So, you know, he is still, from hearing from a member of his family, he's still in Geneva doing his, living his passion, and who knows, perhaps one of these days he may come by the backyard and visit with us. At least I'm hoping that if he comes by and hear any of our shows, he may be interested in being our guest or visiting us in the backyard one of these days. But I don't know for the rest of you, but for me, it is, you know, there is so much negative information sometimes that get blasted all over the internet. There are so many wonderful things happening now in our country, and so many wonderful people all over the world from our country that are doing great things. But you very rarely, you know, hear a lot about that. You will perhaps hear more about all the negative things. So here in the backyard, we want to, you know, stay positive and celebrate really the things that we're proud of. And we know that, as we say, you know, we're little but we're talawa, and we have made a fantastic impact on the world's culture in many, many ways. And we just need to be proud of that and continue to celebrate it. So with that said, if I don't have anyone on the board who wants to join the Labrish, oh, I wanted to ask you to be sure to visit our site, which is backyardlabrish.com. And there you can send me an email and tell me what you would like to hear in the backyard. You know, let's consider
our time together on a Thursday as just getting people of like minds getting together. So it would be good to know what you would like to hear about, that we can do more of that. Because I try to select something. We're in History Month now, so I'd perhaps be trying to find some more information. Dr. Lumsden have lots of information about great Jamaicans in the 1800s, you know, that did a lot of fantastic things that most people don't know about. And I'd like to ask the people coming by later on to check in the archives. We did History Month last year, where we covered a lot of material, and the year before. So there's a lot of material on Jamaica's history and the people who contributed to the culture. So feel free to check it out. And drop me an email and let me know what you enjoy, what you would like to see more of. Because this is my passion. I am committed to doing this just for me. And it's very encouraging and inspiring to me to see that so many people are stopping by, not necessarily on the same day we broadcast, but later on. So continue to spread the word to your friends, and I hope you've enjoyed your time with me in the backyard, and I will be saying goodnight, and I will be looking forward to seeing you next week. So with that said, until then, you know you have the ability to make it a great week. We've been having fantastic weather here in Atlanta. I live in Georgia. I've become a Southern Belle. So anyway, we've been having great weather. So it's not been cold. And if you live in any part of the world that you're experiencing cold weather now, because I know the weather seems to have shifted, and they have snow in England more than ever, and all over Africa, even parts of Africa, it's snowing. So, but just remember that it did snow on the island once, and I did that in one of the History Months, but not in my time, and I'm sure not in yours, and if you're just a visitor, I'm sure not when you visited. So we always have cool, balmy weather. So just know that regardless of the temperature in your town, when you come to the backyard, virtually you're going to be transported to your favorite chair on the island, just experiencing the trade winds blowing gently across your face. So with that said, we're going to ask Mr. Kevin MacLeod to give you a little reggae, classic reggae, as we say good night. So, good night, everybody, and I hope to see you next week. Let me hear from you now. Bye-bye.